Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying 28 Advent Scriptures, and this is day 28, the last day. He emptied himself, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And welcome to Saturday, following the fourth Sunday in Advent. Let's pray together. Father, humility is so hard for us. I pray that you would teach us to humble ourselves like Jesus humbled himself and was exalted. Help us not grasp for exaltation, but let you give it to us in your time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Unless Christmas Day is tomorrow, this will be your final Advent meditation. It speaks about what Jesus had to give up to become a human being. Philippians 2, 5 through 6. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In this passage, Paul is teaching humility by the example of Jesus. The pre-existent Christ, says Paul, is fully divine, in very nature God. But he didn't cling to it, hold on to it, grasp for it. Since he already possessed equality with God, he was willing to humble himself to obey the Father. He couldn't take on human flesh while still holding on to all his divine prerogatives, Philippians 2, 7 through 8. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. Made himself nothing, made himself of no reputation, emptied himself, is the Greek verb kanao, literally, to make empty, to empty. The Greek grammar makes it clear that this was a voluntary action. But just what did this kenosis, or emptying, entail? Did he give up the former nature of God, that is, his actual divinity? Or did he give up some of the relative attributes of deity, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, while retaining the essential attributes, holiness, love, and righteousness? I don't think he gave up his actual divinity, but some of the prerogatives of divinity. The text doesn't fully answer our question. Verses 7 and 8. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. But it makes two things clear. One, Jesus came to serve his Father, and two, Jesus became a human being. We know Jesus is God, but was Jesus really human, or just pretending to be? A second century Christian heresy, Docetism, held a Hellenistic, dualistic view that spirit is good and flesh is evil. Thus, Jesus could not have become flesh and thus partaken in human evil. Thus, Jesus must have been merely pretending to be human. But from the earliest days, the apostles insist that Jesus indeed has become human. 1 John 4, 2 and 3, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. The Nicene Creed affirms that Christ has not only become human, but in human form is both fully God and fully human, not half divine and half human. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. Admittedly, Jesus' earthly nature and his relationship to the Father are difficult for us humans to really understand, but the Nicene Creed helps us to put into words with some clarity what the Scripture teaches. Paul continues to explain just how greatly Jesus was to humble himself to complete the task of redemption the Father had entrusted to him. Verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. But the cross is not the end. 3 days later, Jesus is raised from the dead triumphant and ushered into glory. Verses 9 through 11, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is mind-blowing to think that the baby in the manger is God himself, humbled so that he is able to enter the world of humans. He puts aside his glory, he takes on humanity, and once he has saved us from our sins, then takes on that glory again. Now is fulfilled Isaiah's ancient prophecy, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the authority that Jesus exercised at the Great Commission when he declared, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Discussion question 28, based on Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Why did Jesus need to humble himself to become a human being? What do you think it meant for him to do this, considering that he was divine? When he emptied himself, what all do you think that included? What can you learn from Christ's voluntary humbling of himself? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your voluntarily humbling yourself so you could do what you needed to do. I find humbling myself difficult sometimes. Help me to follow your example and trust the Father to exalt me in due time rather than to claw for recognition on my own schedule. In your wonderful name, I pray.